Guild of Calamitous podcast contains language and discussions of subject and situations that may be deemed inappropriate for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Incoming Guild transmission. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast. Sierra. Hotel, India, Papa.
Hello!
Hi!
I'm Rilo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
This is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. Oh, this is an episode.
I enjoyed this episode so much.
It's always fun. Episodes like these are kind of fun. I know my emotional support Chan disagrees, because we've argued about this before. But OSI episodes have a charm to them.
Are you sure that charm isn't just shore leave?
Maybe. I mean, I ship him now very hard. Very, very, very hard.
And you really, really love shore leave.
And I really love shore leave. I really, really love shore leave. He's a gay icon, okay? Leave me alone.
It's pride, bitch.
It's pride, bitch! So it's a good thing we're doing this episode now. Boom! Yummy! Okay. I got really excited there, sorry.
See, this just proves my theory.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just dive on into the muck,
the mire,
the mire of intrigue that
the monstrosity,
the malostrosity,
malstrosity. Yes,
it's malostro.
I know, it's the Malostro, but specifically, this is a monstrosity, so it's a molstrosity. Get it?
Because, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. In today's episode, we are looking at OSI Love You, written by Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of June 30th, 2013. Its episode number is 60.
Nice.
Are we gonna do that for all of like the next 10?
No, I just really like the number 60.
Yeah. It's a good 60. It's 60 is a good number. It's a nice round number.
It's just enough to get a pack of gum out of a vending machine.
Mm-hmm. 60 is a good number. Our cast of characters and voice cast for today's episode are as follows. James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture, Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson, Michael Citronicholas as Dean Venture, Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, Sergeant Hatred, Hunter Gathers, Monstroso, Mr. Frost, and Miscellaneous OSI Soldiers, Doc Hammer as Shoreleave and Afterburner, Mia Baron as Molotov Cocktease, introducing Paget Brewster, of Bird Girl fame. I mean, that's what I know her as.
Is oh, yes.
As Amber Gold, Bill Hader returning in a new character, Headshot. Let me tell you straight off the bat, we don't like him.
I didn't like him anyway, so.
And introducing Snoopy, played by John Hodgman, who is also a recurring character that will get to have some fun.
Oh, good,
with.
Good.
Brendan Small comes back for Dr. Volcano and Master Your Name. And Dana Snyder is there as the Alchemist and Mr. Sample. I mean, you know, if you don't have Cardholder and Doe, what
do
you...
I love Your Name. Sample's he's good.
He's not a full mister yet. Not a full mister.
He's just a master.
Master. He hasn't earned the mister.
He has earned his hat.
Yeah. So as we were saying earlier, This is an OSI episode, so strap yourself in for a lot of Charlie, Brock, and Hunter. Because that's what you get with an OSI episode. And the return of the Misters as well. As I said before, Mr. Frost, Mr. Sample, and Master Your Name. Which, I believe I mentioned this when we first met the Misters. Doc and Jackson had mentioned that if they had, if Carter and Doe ever had like a third, that was
it would be
like a Russian. It would be Matt, Mr. Your Name.
But here he is.
Here he is, fully realized and voiced by Brendan Small. I'm always really delighted when the boys, as I put it in the boys trademark, explore these sort of different and unique ways of storytelling.
I liked how it diverted from your typical
episode
of Venture Brothers, you know. Problem, fuck up, minor solution.
Fuck up,
solution, fuck up.
Yeah, that, I like, is that the equation, the normal equation?
Generally, it has been.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that has always been said about this show is, you know, the main feature of it is failure.
Yeah.
I'd argue
that the main feature of it is reality.
Is reality, because reality, nothing is ever wrapped up. It's not, nothing is ever wrapped up beautifully with a bow.
In the span of, like, 23 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course,
it doesn't happen.
Sometimes if we get a special, it'll be a bit better, but that's because they give them more time to wrap it up nicely.
Yeah.
Like, I Gargantua 2 ends kind of nicely wrapped up with a ribbon while allowing us to prepare for the next chapter.
Just slap some spackle in those plot holes and off you go.
We have the footing for more. Boom, you have stew. The whole episode takes place in the span of 12 hours is told through flashbacks and recollections and interrogations from the Mister and one Misters and one Master. Not that Master.
And we also had a bit of that overlapping editing again that we had previously with Hunter and 21.
Yeah,
and more of that continuing so sentences. Great.
Yeah, and we got some of those last season too.
But this is it's really heavily noticeable, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's these sort of smooth transitions, and I don't know if it's in the script, if it's in the direction, or if
they're doing something right.
or if it's Doc and the other editor who they brought on for this season, whose name I forgot.
We're sorry.
I'll remember it and probably mention it next episode. Doing it in post, but
I can see it being a really good combination, but the fact that they've gotten it down to this beautiful science of where to time it.
Timing
is everything.
It's all perfectly timed.
It's a beautiful, wonderful little sandwich of expectation, subversion, and enjoyment.
Yeah, which is great. It's great. I really do enjoy these episodes.
And some just quality, beautiful editing.
Yeah, the editing's phenomenal. The editing's always been a highlight in my point of view. But the fact that it just keeps going backwards, telling this story, it's linear.
It is literally backwards.
It's literally backwards. And, you know, it's kind of it was kind of difficult how they lost a giant man.
Yeah.
What I didn't see coming, though, was Molotov again, and actually still be with Monstroso. That caught me off guard.
I mean,
that and the fact
in love.
When you're in love, that and the fact that Shore Leave being the token gay immediately comes up with the ship name.
Oh, heck yeah.
Monstrov, Monstratov, or Molostro.
I prefer I think Molostro.
Molostro makes more sense.
It flows better.
It does. It rolls off the tongue.
I mean, it's no Brangelina, but...
It'll do.
It's solid.
Yeah, and we also sort of get our first glimpse of Headshot, who I posted a meme to our Twitter about how they let us know right off the bat. Like, within an
instant.
Wait, another two episodes. You're like, oh yeah, no, this guy's a chode. Fuck him.
You can already tell he's a chode. The way that he spoke to his to Amber Gold.
Yeah.
Was just like, boy, do you want to get punched?
Yeah. And also, I think Brock could absolutely love Molotov, and I think he does. I think he, deep down he does.
In that annoying, unrequited way that he doesn't want to be there, though.
Yeah.
It is,
bittersweet?
No,
Unrequited?
Involuntary.
Involuntary. Yeah, that's not the word I would have used, but okay.
I mean, like, after the history that they have had, he's gonna care for her regardless.
He's gonna have some emotion.
How he actually wants to feel. Just because he wants to feel one way does not mean he's gonna feel that way. He may want to hate her. Not gonna happen. There's too much history.
Too much history, it's too much
like
emotion.
How, like, you and I have mutually assured destruction clause in our friendship.
Yeah.
We know too much.
Yeah.
Like.
About the other.
Yeah, if you.
If we fell out,
it would be catastrophic.
There would be a double homicide.
Continents would implode.
Because can't.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I think it is with Brock and Molotov.
Yeah, it's this
involuntary necessity to annoy the piss out of each other.
And, like, be a cock tease. Wink. And I like also that, that immediately we know something went wrong because he just flashes to the misters interrogating. Like, it went, of course it did.
Yeah.
Molotov's involved.
Immediately.
They're gonna get fucked over. It's fucked. What you don't expect, though, is for the Ventures to be on board.
Yeah, that surprised me.
It's very noticeable that it's just Dean, Doc, and Hatred.
There's not a
Hank in sight.
So concerned.
There's not a Hank in sight. And the fact that they went to get his breasts checked out because...
I mean, that's fair.
The no molestol interferes with the Super Soldier Serum.
Which causes him... to develop triple D48s.
Yeah, all natural.
Which actually isn't that big of a cup size. Quite honestly, with what Hatred's packing, I'd put him more in the G cup.
I like how you're... And Hank came with them. That's the thing that really concerns you, knowing that he's
Hank
not
came
involved.
With them. Hank is not there.
Hank came, but Hank is not there. And
where are the Hank?
The fact that he's still wearing the strength suit.
It's stinky, though.
Yeah, buddy, any meds. Buddy. Any meds you can give him anyway, like Ritalin.
A hint of Adderall.
Just a whiff of Adderall, please. Something. Some stimulant.
Burn some methamphetamine in like a separate room two doors down and let him inhale in that room away from it, and he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He'll be normal. And we do get Dean's acknowledgement about how kind of dirty he's been done by his family. Because, like, you know, Hank used to wear his Batman suit everywhere.
Yeah. And,
except now he doesn't die when he jumps off the roof. Like, there's that acknowledgement from Dean and the wince from Doc knowing that maybe he knows that Dean knows about the cloning. Because Dean's the smart one.
Yeah. Dean also got told. It's on Halloween, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's never really been revealed to Doc that Dean knows.
Yeah. But this just, like, now he's in. The amount of Hanks that have died in Batman costumes.
An insane number of Hanks.
A painful number of Hanks.
And fun fact, someone I'm in talks with to interview later is actually the one who storyboarded Hank jumping off the roof in season 2.
Nice.
In the montage. So hopefully we'll be talking with John here soon, and I can ask him all about
how many Hanks.
How many Hanks does it take to jump off a roof and die in Batman costume with an umbrella?
I also love though that Hank has not taken off
the strength suit. He's really, really comfortable. Hank has the most optimistic, happy, just vibe about him. Like, I wish I could have that good of an outlook on life. But I've been railroaded by reality, and it has left me a jaded husk.
I am but a shell of my former innocent self. He's so wholesome.
He's wholesome, and he's really enjoying the strength suit. God love him.
And you know, right on, Dean, for not giving a fuck about, you know, the boobs.
Yeah. They're just vibing. They're both just doing their thing. And it's great to see the boys becoming individuals.
Yes. The difference from when we first met them to now is beautifully stark.
Yeah. And I know you wanted some Molotov backstory, because I know you like some Molotov, so here it is.
Heck yeah. Give me the info.
Yeah, yeah. The Goodwill Games. Like, you already know some of what happened. You know that...
We know some of what happened between her and Brock.
Yeah, we know that Molotov killed Brock's partner, and we know that Brock took her eye. Like, this is stuff we kind of know sort of from
previous episodes.
Like Incredible Mr. Brisby. Like, when those little things have been and we know that Brock killed Molotov's father. And now we see, like, sort of just how that all happened. And the fact that all of them have pretty strong motives.
Everybody has a pretty strong motive.
For Molotov escaping. Not for losing Monstroso.
Yeah, that one, which, I'm like, I was agreeing there for a second. I'm like, how do you... He's so big.
He is very, very big. But Brock has been caught kissing Molotov. Doc Hatred and Dean had some, well, not so much hatred, but Doc and Dean, because she was the babysitter for that one episode in season 2. And Hunter was fucking co-workers with her in the Blackhearts. So they all have
their reasons. Strong motive.
The only one who doesn't is Shore Leave.
Valid.
Valid. And then we get, and Brock, I like that Brock's the one that they put on Monstroso. And that they wrapped him up in some sheets.
Yeah.
They don't have anything in stupid big.
I mean, that would be incredibly large clothing.
And some more sort of big reveals about the guild.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really Bowie.
We can dream, though.
Brock's met them both, and the real Bowie can't turn into a hawk.
That's a shame.
To quote Monstroso, the man now known as the Sovereign was once just a petty super criminal, talented but down on his luck shapeshifter. He and the real Bowie met in 72. Rumor has it the creature on the cover of Diamond Dogs is actually an unaltered photo of the Sovereign.
That's kind of terrifying.
He may also have been the woman beside Bowie on the cover of Pinups, but you're asking the wrong questions. They learn all about... I'm amazed that they didn't know all about the council yet.
Well, it does seem like the guild keeps it pretty hush-hush.
But people inside the guild know about it.
Yeah, but
people who are members know about the council.
Got a hold of the information that the guild is run by committee. It's like a villain
HOA. But here's the thing. It's a villain HOA. That's a really good example. Because no one likes an HOA anyway. But the fact that they don't know is what catches me off guard.
Yeah. Because that is a pretty big operating point of the guild.
But it's this sort of thing that is, that's a big operating point of the guild. The guild is run by committee. All guild members know it.
I also have a feeling, though, that the guild would kill anyone who spilled that.
But if someone did spill that, it would still be in OSI's files.
Yes.
So, like, it's more of an amazement that it's taken this long for them to find out that if you want to destroy the guild, you have to look at the council. And
Monstroso points them out to one of them.
Yeah, we know the identity of one. We'll know the identity of all by the
technically time this show's we done. Know the identity of three, but
are we gonna have the argument about if Red Mantle and Dragoon are either one
they were
or two
originally
villains?
Three. They were originally three, now they are one. But technically,
the clue clown.
That name.
First of all,
that's difficult to say, Clue Clown.
Clue Clown.
It sounds like you're saying something really nasty.
I mean, they come up with some really good names. I mean, like, some of the OSI guys we see, like, Bum Rush and Junk Dog.
I loved Bum Rush.
Shuttlecock. Siberian Husky. Slap Chop. Tank Top.
So good.
It's stuff that you could possibly believe might be a G.I. Joe character. And that's when they're doing their job.
But they're also so mundane.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Tank Top.
Well, yeah, and that is one that I could honestly see being
a G.I. Joe. Being also a G.I. Shuttlecock.
I don't think Shuttlecock just because it has the words cock in it.
No, I think if they made it one word, I think they'd still use it. Older Joe, not new Joe.
Older Joe, not new Joe. Because there's a difference. There is a difference.
There is a vast difference there.
The fact that it's all just immediately screwed over by one, Molotov gets out, which let's...
That was one of the most disturbing moments I've ever seen.
the pulling
pulling a handcuff shim out of her eye socket. Yes.
Like, I mean,
there are so many better places to put one of those.
Yeah, you could put it in nature's pocket.
I was thinking your bra wire, but okay.
Well, no, because they removed the wires. They put her in
true.
Nature's pocket.
I mean, technically that's also what her eye socket is now, so.
I know. That's technically, she has two pockets.
I mean, you've got nature's pocket and then you've got your prison wallet, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are lots of different options
of how to sneak a device to get you out.
Well, handcuff shims, you can get those stuck around the inside of a ring. You're like, why do you know this?
I'm not going there. I'm not entertaining that or taking it any farther.
No, it was genuinely just in the fact that I enjoy watching lockpicking videos. They're very zen.
Is that your new hobby, lockpicking?
Actually, yes, I do have a set. I got my youngest brother a set for Christmas one year, because what do you do for the boy that you know nothing about what he likes? You get him something that he can do with his hands.
Yeah. The fact that also Amber is in a wig.
It's a luscious wig.
I know. She's that cannot still blonde, be cheap. Just not gold. And the fact that Headshot is so salty about that.
Like, what the hell? She's not even that bad. Like, it's not a dirty blonde. It's just brassy.
Yeah. And also,
girlfriend, get some purple shampoo.
He was going to stop to quickly check on Molotov. He was going to do unspeakable things to Molotov.
I can imagine.
We hate Headshot.
He's a douchebag.
He's a chode. He's a chode. And again, in a wild miscommunication, Dean admits he let him out. What? We're not entirely sure.
But it wasn't Molotov.
No, even though he has his bodega sodas.
I was like, Dean, what the fuck did you do?
I know, when he has a bunch of bodega sodas, that's how you know
he fucked up.
He's just trying to cope. The bodega soda is a sign of trouble. But it turns out he was talking to
the psychics.
The Primos. Primos, like from, you know, which are like the precogs from Minority Report.
But what the little fucking pog bullshit.
The pog shit.
Guys. Out
the little ping pong ball.
The nozzle. Their like, pelvic I mean, nozzle.
Their pelvic nozzle and...
I'm not wrong. That's exactly what the fuck it is.
And the premonitions that they give.
Sometimes they're bullshit. That's a lie. I have.
Oh, false alarm. I love Dr. Volcano, and I'm really glad he's back.
He's so delightful.
And more so just because I love that character from home movies, and I talk about it every single goddamn time. But the premonition of Golden Lady Fly Away Boom Boom. It's so good.
It is.
And they give Dean a Go Team Venture, which, you know, in the chaos, it makes Dean, who feels like they didn't want to be there.
He's like, yes, they are one with me. We must leave.
They're like me. They get it. Nope. Poor your name.
He's struggling.
Is questioning Shore Leave, who apparently it was his anniversary with Al.
Cute. So they were having some
alone time with
fun time.
Computer, some lotion, and I want to point out that Al now lives in Triana's bedroom.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And he probably has it redecorated because he likes it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it has a unique vibe. I'm here for it. You do you, girl. But also, Charlize has a little photo of Al, like, hanging up mm-hmm. in his quarters. Like, they're just, they're so cute. They're so cute. Oh, and I'm so glad that they were able to, like, keep a relationship after prom. I'm really happy. And, look, and a relationship
Al,
that
Al
I guess...
Al did the little, like, kiss kick, so you know it's good.
I know, yeah. The Princess Diaries taught...
Pop. You had to do the pop.
Yeah, if you do the foot pop, it's legit.
We get
That's
it.
What Princess Diaries taught our generation. The foot pop.
The foot's gotta pop.
Foot's gotta pop if it's gonna be
if it's gonna pop off.
If it's gonna be a real relationship, the foot's gotta pop. And it popped.
It popped. It popped hard. That was like a boing.
And his little kilt.
Boing.
I'm so glad that they've lasted a year, because I'm guessing, you know, anniversary.
Yeah, that would be about a year.
About a year. Which makes sense given the timeline of the show.
I'm so happy for them.
I mean, God love them. I hope in the movie we get some more Al and Charlize together.
That'd be great.
Not that the boys trademark take requests, but if they did, I would just, I honestly, spinoff.
It's like Charlize riding spin-off? To Santa.
Come on.
Dear
I know, right?
Jackson Public.
Dear Astro Base Go. All I want.
I've been a very good boy this year.
And all I would like is
for Venture Miss.
All I would like is for Charlize and Al to be cute for like an hour and a half.
Domestic.
Yes. Al and Charlize domestic. That's all I want for this movie.
Going grocery shopping.
Please give me this one thing.
Some cute love. Domesticity.
Love, Rilo.
Big heart. And the letter. It's written in crayonist to seem... innocent.
It's to seem innocent and precocious and childlike and whimsical.
Perfectly and intentionally misspelling words to appear younger than you are. And if you know, audience, what that is reference to, you get a gold sticker.
See, we can't offer gold stickers. We can't give them gold stickers.
I can get them gold stickers.
Okay, you can bug her about a gold sticker. Yeah. I don't know about gold stickers. The meeting. We see all of the OSI agents.
Everybody.
It's really kind of a B team situation. I don't.
There's a lot of like B, C, Q.
Well, because their A team was either, I mean, Headshot and Amber were planning a vacation, and so that really just leaves Brock and Shirley from the A team. And I guess Sky Pilot's there, isn't he?
Yeah, Sky Pilot's there.
But more importantly, Snoopy's there. Which
I really love Snoopy.
I really love Snoopy. He's maybe my favorite new character. And he comes back in weird ways. And I really love Snoopy. I really do. He is a good OSI agent. And
he's just like, he's, okay.
And he's so fresh-faced and new. I don't even think he's fresh-faced and new. I just think he's...
No, that's just the vibe that he gives off.
That's just his general...
demeanor.
Vibe. Yeah.
Just every day is a new day.
Every day is a new day. But we find out how Monstrosa disappeared. He was dropped by the investors.
Forcibly ejected.
Dun-dun-dun. It's the investors. They work with the guild. We've talked about them before. They may be vampires. We don't know.
They're super creepy.
They never talk. They travel in like a little horde of three.
It was super creepy.
Yeah, I mean,
also,
it had to have been a quick fall, though. He's so dense. Like,
I doubt that that would actually change his terminal velocity by much.
Really?
No.
See, I don't know.
Alexa, what's the terminal velocity of a human?
Here's something I found on the web. According to reference.com, for a typical human, terminal velocity ranges between 53 and 56 meters per second.
Okay, so it would be probably on the higher end, so maybe 60 meters per second.
But he's 563 pounds.
Well, no, so it was 53 meters per second for an average human, right?
Yeah.
So the average human being is about 53 to 55 meters per second, and that can range up to like 200, 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So even adding another 200 pounds, maybe 60 meters per second. So really not that much faster than your average asshole. Also, gravity is a constant downward force. So if you dropped a cinder block and Monstroso off the side of this giant flying
hovercraft,
they would hit the ground at the same time.
The fact that the primos are just also running around is so great.
And popping out little ping pong balls out of their pelvic nozzles.
Uh-huh.
I have so many questions and I don't want the answers.
They're like precogs. They're like the precogs.
I don't want answers.
Have you seen Minority Report?
Yes, but the anatomy confuses me.
Of precogs confuses you. So therefore the anatomy of
primos also confuses me, and I don't want to know the answers.
Yeah.
The anatomy, I have questions that I do not want answered.
Yeah, exactly. And we also we get the nozzle again. The nozzle dies though, don't worry.
Aw.
I know. R.I.P. nozzle.
More nozzle.
And Hank going Hank.
Going Hank.
He's going Hank, which, you know,
he has gone full.
He has a strength suit. He can rip out the nozzle and leave the room and, you know, walk out of the room and then eventually lose his strength suit to.
Literally like 2 minutes later.
And he has experienced some serious muscle atrophy.
Like, buddy.
Oh, God. Oh. She stole my destiny. And then Brock just knows what that means. She's got Hank's strength suit.
I mean, number one, he's naked.
So. Well, no, he's not completely naked.
He's got sphinx gear underneath, but still, he is naked without his armor.
He's lost his destiny.
He went out with boobs. He no longer has boobs.
He lost his destiny.
Are titties destiny?
Maybe.
Or is losing titties destiny?
Maybe. Listen, I'm not going to get too deep into it. I don't. You're asking me like I know. I know nothing. But, you know, Molotov having the strength is not a good thing to have.
That's equally bad.
And also, can we talk about how Helper really comes in clutch sometimes?
Helper always comes in clutch.
He saved Brock.
Like, totally badass Helper. Well done.
Totally badass Helper. Leading to the magnificent fight between Brock and Molotov.
That was
them just hanging from the engine.
We French kissed like Spider-Man and Mary Jane.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a pretty damn impressive throw though, Samson. That was like,
well done.
Well placed.
And spoiler. So it looks like he killed
Molotov.
Molotov.
He chucks her into that engine.
Tucks her into the engine. It is done. Open, close case.
Goodbye, Destiny.
And God love your name. He's earned his mister. He's earned his fedora.
Well done.
And all they have to say is that Hunter runs a pretty weird ship.
I mean,
it doesn't paint a pretty picture.
Progress is rarely neat.
And they change, you know. Monstroso is missing. They don't know he died. They just know he disappeared.
Yes.
And Molotov's status. They're about to change it. Plot twist, Brock didn't kill Molotov. She had taken off the strength suit. It was a test. She is a mercenary.
She gets paid.
Yeah, and they were all double agents.
That's really sick, though.
Yeah, she took out the garbage, and they need a deep infiltrator on their team who works in the shadows. Someone no one would expect. She's a mercenary. She gets hired by people all the time. And the people who hired her were the enemy. But as long as they pay better, she's on their side.
Which is valid thinking. I mean, money?
Yeah, the fact that...
I will happily swap teams if you're going to cut me a nice fat check.
Yeah, and in a third sort of massive plot twist, Mr. Frost and Mr. Sample are back.
But it's... But they're...
They're here to discuss... The Molostro incident.
The Molostro incident. It wasn't the misters. And as they walk into the sunset.
The misters were all the investors. Boom. Blow your mind. What?
Plot twist.
And Hank has a long road to recovery. But, you know, once his atrophied limbs are better, he'll learn how to stand without the suit. But he'll never get over the loss of his breasts. He'll miss them forever. Like, I love when Hunter spills the little bit of that.
He genuinely misses himself, yeah.
He misses the tits. He misses having tits.
I mean, to be fair, I would be quite upset.
I would not be, but that's...
Well, different. Yeah, but...
Yeah, there you go. Boom. Yummy. Delicious.
OS, I love you.
OS, I love you.
Molotov is now
good guy.
Bad.
Team.
I wouldn't say good guy. I'd just say not bad guy.
Well, team protagonist.
Yeah, semi-protagonist. Sometimes you still want to smash them all over the head with hammers.
Yeah, right? That's normal.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, we'll be looking at Mama's Boys, which is a fun one to look at.
I was not prepared.
I get to finally talk about Teddy Talk to Me. So.
Oh, God.
End it the way we know how?
I think we shall. Go Team Venture.
We love you guys.
Have a great night.